We're continuing our shiurim on the Chazon Ish, and we're going to continue, like we spoke last week, a little bit in terms of elements of Derech HaLimud. I want to speak today, the topic is the Brisker Derech and its opponents, the Rav, the Chazon Ish, and Rav Shigar. Let me try to talk about the angle that we are going to speak about it in, and what we're not going to be able to do. There's a lot of interesting historical discussions about when Reb Chaim in Volozhin, so Reb Chaim comes along and he introduces a style of learning called, the Brisker Derech, whatever that means. And Reb Chaim is the extent to which he is really accepted, the critiques that exist at that time period against Reb Chaim, those who issue some very, very strong critiques, even within Volozhin, some who are pulled a bit more to the Netziv. Reb Kook is there, and Reb Kook in Volozhin was not so connected to the world of Reb Chaim. And that's one element of the discussion. Another element of the discussion, which we're not going to speak about, although I find fascinating, is the question of how revolutionary Reb Chaim was. Reb Chaim, it is commonplace to note, at least in the vast majority of Ashkenazi yeshivos nowadays, Litvish yeshivas, that they are very, very much impacted by the Derech HaLimud of Reb Chaim. How revolutionary Reb Chaim was, that is also not what we're going to speak about today. We're going to assume today, because I think it's probably accurate to describe, there were elements of what Reb Chaim did that were done beforehand, but he made it much more systematic. What I want to speak about are really two critiques of the world of Brisk. One that emerges from the writings of Reb Chaim, of the Chazon Ish, or the Sfarim about the Chazon Ish, and another that is more recent that comes from Rav Shigar. We're going to really assess it in terms of less from just a Derech HaLimud perspective, what's a better Derech HaLimud, a little bit more of the Hashkafa behind Derech HaLimud, a little bit more about the worldview that it would dictate, what Brisk offered and what it tells about Torah and about man, about halacha and about this world. And we're going to see why the Chazon Ish from one angle was not into it, and we'll see why Rav Shigar in a very different angle was not into it. We'll try to describe figures along the way. Let's start like this. Part of the challenge in talking about Brisk is that if you go around different yeshiva websites and you read bios, so like 85% of Rebbeim teach in the Brisker Derech, and yet they have very, very different shiurim. What exactly is called a Brisker Derech and what's not called a Brisker Derech? So that's actually not so clear in that pure Brisk, you have a lot of different permutations of it. Happens to be also, this is not so surprising, although it's important to realize, much as we have a lot of Torah from Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim did not write a book called Derech HaLimud. What is Brisk? What am I trying to do? And like, these are the klalim. But the Brisk that comes by way of Rav Soloveitchik, then the Brisk that takes a turn at Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, so those are different versions of Brisk, and the Brisk that's going to be learned in Yerushalayim nowadays in Yeshiva's Brisk. So you're going to have differences. On the one hand, you're going to look at them and you're going to say, Kichlau, I'm in those shiurim, and like, they look very, very different in terms of what they're doing. There are certain key characteristics, I believe, assuming that the term still has meaning, that do connote what exactly it is. We are going to speak today about elements of Brisk as described by the Rav, and a bit through the world of, I would say, Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Rosenzweig, just really to use it as a model. I think their descriptions are very helpful. First of all, because they offer descriptions. I don't think Rav Avmi Yoshua, has like, to my knowledge, has like a small kutras on like what is Brisk. So we're going to go with the people that I'm familiar with who have kutrasim like that, and we're going to try to understand well what they do, at least as far as what some of the ideas behind it, how we relate to it. And then we're going to see, using them as a model, two of the different kinds of critiques. So let's start like this. The world of Brisk tries to do the following. The Rav and Halachic Man in source number one and in source number two. Part of Brisk is an attempt to learn and to put things into abstract categories. In the world of Brisk, I'm not learning Torah, la'asuke shmaisa alibi dehilchasa, at least that's often understood. My goal in learning the first parak of Kiddushin, the way, let's say, we're learning it right now, we're not necessarily leaving the first parak of Kiddushin, that now I can paskin these Kiddushin shilas. And now I can really sort of, then now I can really understand it well. We didn't speak as an example, we're speaking about the extent of, that a woman needs das in Kiddushin. We didn't speak that much about, so halacha l'maisa, what do we do to make sure we know that the woman has das? That question wasn't even, we didn't talk about that, nor did anyone think, before I said it right now, like, oh my gosh, that's like a really important thing, that how can we not do that? Because you're not focusing that much on halacha l'maisa. You're trying to understand abstract ideas. You're trying to understand, is Kiddushin a kinyan mamon, or is it more, which I think it is it really a kinyan isser? you're trying to understand what exactly is Kinyan Kesef. You're talking about Tazes and Smas. You're trying to understand abstract ideas and the real essential nature of different halachos. So we're talking a lot about the institution of Kiddushin, and we're speaking a lot about the extent which it has overlap with Kinyanim, or it has overlap with its more internal kind of Ishus ideas. And elements of that is what you're going to find in Brisk. I mean, you're making it that subjective, and you're not making it that much, I'm not involved that much, I want to understand the sugya as far as the sugya, as far as the sugya goes. It's also true that in the world of Brisk, this is well known, that Reb Chaim used to say, and there are some good mices with this, that Reb Chaim conveying this to people, to the Panavis or Rav, I think there's a good mice about this, that Reb Chaim said, we ask the question of what, we don't ask the question of why. We, as an example, in Shir, I'm using what we've spoken about because I think it's a helpful model. We spoke a lot about, is Kiddushin more of like a Kinyan or an internal Ishus idea? And we left it as that. We didn't ask the question, like, why would God create a system that would have it be more of a, that would look more like a Kinyan? Or why would God create a system that would have it look more like Ishus? So we've had some ideas that may shed light on those questions. But for a prime, the question of why is not a question that you're asking. Because all I care about is internally the halachic system. I just want to know what halacha says. I want to read Rishonim well to see what are they, how do they understand essential halachos. And I'm not asking like, why would Hashem do this? I can't understand why Hashem would do this. Nor do I feel the need to explain why Hashem would do it, because that's not my goal. Halacha is what halacha is, and my goal is to understand the halachic concepts. It's abstract, it's not halacha lemaisa, and it's not necessarily... It's not in need of showing like, oh, this is a good svara because we see it in the outside world. It's all Torah just as Torah. It's not bringing in a wide range of lots of different certain kinds of makoros. You're not bringing in secular makoros of, well, what? How did they affect Kinyanim in the times of Chazal? Maybe if we knew in different sources from that era, you know, how in the area of Bavel, the non-Jews would affect Kinyanim. Maybe that would shed... It's all Torah just as Torah. It's also true that you're not engaging in the way that, like, elements of this in the Gra and maybe in the Tziv, you're not talking that much about, like, looking at the different girsas originally and trying to find out what exactly did the text really say and if there was a mess up here and a mess up there, which you would have some achorim that would engage in things like that. What you do have is Brisk understanding concepts in an abstract way. Brisk also... Also, this Moshe Lichtenstein writes very clearly. So number three, I'm not sure this is true for all of Brisk. I think this is true for the version of Brisk that he identifies with. You don't care as much about all the Shaklavataria within the Gemara, per se. My goal is not really the Shaklavataria. My goal is the Shaklavataria for what it tells me about the din we're talking about. So I don't really care that much about what exactly is the limud of Stei Ephron, etc. I want to know what does that limud tell me about the nature of Kiddushin. I want to know, what does this halacha tell me about the major concept I'm speaking about? But just understanding the same kind of shot in the give and take of, no, but like, how does this fit with that? If it's not going to shed light on the fundamental question, at least in his version of Brisk, it's not going to be that much, you're not going to focus on it that much. But you can have certain shiurim, this is more of a modern Brisker kind of a thing, where you're only focusing on like a major question, defining abstract terms, and like, you're not talking about any like side things, nothing halacha l'maisa, anything that's more pshat based, you're not going to emphasize anywhere near as much, and that is something which is there. You want to understand halacha, the ideas that come from halacha, and you want to understand what exactly it's coming to teach. Part of what Brisk has also, and it fits with the whole idea. Again, this is just there are people who've written books about trying to define what exactly is Brisk, so we're just giving like a not such great job, but we're trying to highlight one version of it. Part of what Brisk does, because it's not about this world, and it's not about what it does for me, it's about abstract ideas and not halacha l'maisa. That's why Brisk will often focus on areas of Torah that are dafka, not halacha l'maisa. The world of Kachim, Zrayim Taros, but Kachim Bifrat, has no parallel in secular world, that at least that we think about. So when I'm learning Kachim, when I'm learning Bechoros, let's say this, when I learn Maseches Kiddushin and I'm thinking about marriage, there's a chance I'm not going to be able to view it in purely objective ways. Because when I'm learning about marriage, what am I going to do? I'm going to think about my own marriage. Think about what I know about relationships. I'm going to process that when I'm starting to learn about Kiddushin. The value of Kachim in the world of Brisk is that it has no shaykhus to this world. It means when I'm learning Kachim, I'm thinking pure Torah. Because the only thing I know about Pidyon Peter Chamor is Pidyon Peter Chamor. I'm not comparing that to anything in the real world. And that's a Mila. The Mila is it's pure Torah. And the fact that I'm not bringing in any outside svaras of what I think about X and Y is awesome. I'm abstract ideas. It's not halach lamaisa. I can focus on it. I also have the ability to be creative. As we spoke about last week with the Rav, the creativity is very much there. There's a lot of areas to speak about. It's not already been done before. I can understand better what's going on. There's a lot of room. Some of those mesechtas don't have that many Rishonim and Achronim. And in many ways, that is the world of... That is the world of Brisk. That's the world of Brisk. Again, if you think about... I don't think I've ever referred to myself as a person who gives a shiur in Brisker style. I just don't have the capacity to talk that way. But if you're talking about some of the things that we have... at least some ideas here, we definitely have influences of it, I think we're familiar with. If you're talking about how we've been learning about Kiddushin so far, as talking about the concept of Kiddushin, not so much halach lemaisa, we're not bringing in like anthropology or anything else about the nature of marriages, we're not asking questions about machshava per se, other than we speak about mi'ilan kol Torah kula, because that you have to do. But in general, we're not talking that much. We have a little bit of that, because there's a Rosenzweig influence here, which is very important about the element of Kiddusha and things like that. But Adkan. So now we have the Chazon Ish and we have Rav Shigar. Two very, very different figures. The Chazon Ish and Rav Shigar, different styles. We'll talk about Rav Shigar a little bit later. The Chazon Ish we've spoken about already this year in this slot a couple of times. Let's start like this. The Chazon Ish is not a brisker. The Chazon Ish is not learning like brisk. The Chazon Ish is not learning like brisk. The Chazon Ish has a very different methodology and very different kind of study. He's not... With a couple of exceptions, he's not really dealing that much with these like abstract categories. His goal is certainly not just defining abstract categories. The goal of the Chazon Ish is to understand things. Asuke Shmaisa Aliba de Hilchasa. I want to know the maskanas that emerge. Mamish, what should I do in this case? Ach dekach, it happened to say for Maisa Ish, which we spoke about one of the biographies of the Chazon Ish. So in Chelek Gimel, they have in the beginning Pirkei Haraz v'Hadracha with Mavoros Hashem. From Reb Dov Yaffe, I think is how you say it. He's one of the more chashuv mashgichim in Eretz Yisrael nowadays. At this point, elderly, and a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, who quotes different things with the Derech Halima of the Chazon Ish. And we'll see how this is very much not brisk in a certain sense. Always. Tzarech l'gashash l'gemara k'il yesh l'sheila l'flein l'dina. Whenever you're learning Gemara, pretend as if there is a practical question in front of you. V'tzarech l'da'as ma'hadin. My goal is not understanding how there are two different ways of understanding Kiddushin Kesed. My goal is always, if I'm learning it, I want to understand its practical application. That's going to be true for the Chazon Ish, even in the world of Kachim, and even in the world of Taros. I want to learn and understand, even if it's not practical right now, what would be the practical implication of that particular area of halacha. I remember one of the things I said before, when I was in the Kol Elyon, we were learning Zvachim, so we had a luncheon. We used to have luncheons with Rabbi Lam and different prominent figures. So one time we had a luncheon. It was with Rabbi Lam and Rav Amar, who was now Chief Rabbi Yerushalayim. He's then the Chief Rabbi of the Sephardic Chief Rabbi at Yisrael Rishon Lezion. And one of the guys asked the following question to Rav Amar. We're learning Zvachim this year. Should we be learning it? Lasuk Shmaisa Libet Hilchasa. Is there an Indian to learn Kachim, Libet Hilchasa? So in the world of Brisk, it's not that at all. You can look at the Brisker Rav, at the Griz, and Zvachim, and you're not going to find Halach LaMaisa discussions. That's true for, his children and Talmidim also, and their Sfarim. What you are going to... So he was actually dafka into that. But the Chazon Ish, whenever you learn something, I want to understand what it's really going to do. That's why for him, the Sefer Beis Yosef is a very important Sefer. Shibi Chesalim Rad Beis Yosef. For him, that's always very, very important. If you look in source number 5, in the Kovetz Igros of the Chazon Ish, he says it out even more clearly. He says there's two elements to paskening. There's two different components. One, la'anif ha-soles ha-naki si'ifei ha-mishpan ha-torah. The first thing is understand the abstract, understand what the halacha, what the din, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, what would be the halacha. But there's a second level, ha'acharav ha'iyan ha'sheni, ha'chadir b'ha'uvda ha'nochachas lefanenu b'ma'alosah, that I have to understand how to apply that which I learned to the mitzvah, which is right in front of me. I want to learn how to, I want to be very, very clear in what emerges. I want to be very clear in what emerges. What would the din really tell me? And I want to be able to go now focus on applying that to where it is. For the Chazanish, there's not really this difference between like lamdus and halacha lemaisa. When you're learning things, the goal is to learn them and understand the maskanas and the dinim that will come from there. That's why Kovitz Igros and Chilah Gimel, that comes from Benny Brown's book, in source number 9, the Chaznish and Kovitz Igros and Chilah Gimel writes that there are people who wanted to taina, when you learn a Ran or a Ritva on the Gemara, don't paskin like them, because they're not poskim, they're mefarshim. They're just saying out lumdas in the Gemara, but they're not really poskim. The Chaznish can't handle that distinction. What are you talking about? The Ran and the Ritva, when someone's learning a sugya and they're telling you what pshas in the sugya, for sure, he says, ain't a move on this age of Derek Perish. Kimei olam lo chilku a poskim, kishiyuban leminyan hadeos, im kasuva rasavish our poskim, biskeim obichidushayim. Bechol divrayim el etzlenu halacha lemaisa. All of what they say, I'm learning a Ritva, it's not lumdus, and that is my poskim that way. What they're saying is how they learn. And real halach, when I'm learning Gemara, when I'm learning Beis Yosef, I want to know what are the dinim that emerge from the text itself. For the Chazis, as we spoke about last week, there's less abstract thought. There's less of the independence that's going to be there. We'll talk about that in a second. But for the Chazis, the only exception he writes is Rashi. Rashi sometimes, when he writes, you don't paskin like, because sometimes Rashi, the way he writes in the Gemara, he's explaining according to the Hava Mina. He's explaining according to Deya we don't accept. But when Rashi explains the Deya that we paskin like, what Rashi's saying is Mamish Halacha also. That's how they do things for the Chazon Ish. That's where it really, really comes from. That's what the Chazon Ish writes. The Chazon Ish, I think, never really came out as forcefully publicly against the elements of Bris, but clearly, at least it seems from a lot of the writing, was not so into it. Let's read source number 9 for a second. Benny Brown's book on the Professor Benjamin Brown, Chazon Ish. He talks about what's behind this. What's behind this? The Chaznish. So part of it, and this is Stam, a very important thing to know in Derech HaLimud, a lot of Derech HaLimud relates to how my mind works. There are people, if I want to be able to be very successful in learning, I have to learn the style that plays to my intellectual strengths. A guy who has a terrible memory, and he's in a shir where the Rebbe is just speaking very, very quickly and giving tons of yedios, so it's not the right shidduch for him. So part of Derech HaLimud is always a question of what, where a person's mind is at. But here the Chaznish, he tries to give what's behind the Chazon Ish. And we're talking about Derech HaLimud here as far as what it tells us about Hashkafa, what it tells us about their general worldview. So Benny Brown as follows. Hanacha medes b'yisod tfisa zo, hi osa hanacha sh'inu b'shar ha'emunah. A general theme of the Chazon Ish. HaTorah kegilei chalkim mitzumtzam shel chachma elokis. Torah is God's wisdom. Was not given l'shem chidud ha'moach b'targilim. The goal of learning was not to just sharpen our intellects. The goal of Torah was not to give us what to think about when we're learning. The goal of Torah for the Chazon Ish is not to give us abstract ideas, but to tell us how to live our lives. The goal of Torah, in a very direct way, is to take Torah and tell us, what do I do now as a result? What do I do b'chai ha'maisa? He quotes here from one of that Rabbi Frohl Halperin said the Chazon Ish told him, "Kol yamav lamed es hasugis haGemara ala kviyas halacha." It was always about getting it. Even there was a lach lemaisa. In that sense, he writes here, "It shalok isha halacha shelv salvechek." The Chazon Ish is very far from isha halacha. Isha halacha wants to just learn Torah and understand kinyan mamon, kinyan iser. Let's understand the essential nature of kinyan kesef and kiddushin. Abstract ideas, not so shy. For the Chazon Ish, no, I want to be able to learn those things. He's not trying to understand just like abstract concepts. Adarabah, who osek ba k'marechash kol kula no edes lios k'shura im ha-metzias. The Chazon Ish wants to always learn in a way that's going to affect metzias. There are those who suggest, Lawrence Kaplan suggests, sorry, a little heavier in the academia today. Enjoy that stuff, and you're welcome. He suggests something else about the Chazon Ish. The Chazon was uncomfortable with elements of Brisk because Brisk was, it gave too much room to the individual person. It gave too much room to you to be creative. You were less focused on what the text says and less focused on what I do with the Maisa. It was abstract ideas and you feel more freedom there. the way that Rav Dessler said it in Michtav Melio, Rav Dessler said part of the Mila of Brisk is that a person with certain Brisker ideas can feel like they can say Chidushim without knowing all Shas and Poskim. You feel you can say Chidushim, I have certain methodological tools, and I want to say a bit of a Chiddush, and it's more abstract. I want to do a lot of Maisa anyway. And therefore, Brisk, that's why there are times where we can be in Shir, and the person can say an original Chiddush. And, but do I know that fits with all the Gemaras and Chidushim? With a Brisk, it doesn't always matter as much because of the nature of the Chidushim. That's just important to understand. But for the Chaznish, part of what it does is it allows the individual to be much more creative. In a certain sense, whereas for the Rav, what he would emphasize is when I learn Torah, I'm a partner. I'm shutfin with Ribbono Shel Olam in creating Torah. For the Chaznish, that's fundamentally wrong. For the Chaznish, I am submissive. For the Chaznish, when I learn Torah, I'm not being creative. I'm submitting myself to Halacha L'maisa. I'm submitting myself. What does it say in the Gemara? What does it say in the, how does the Ran learn it? Even how does the Ran learn it? What emerges from the Ran? Well, it's not always just practical Halacha, it speaks about everything, but what emerges from, I'm trying to submit myself to the text and not give myself as much room for my own independent thought. I want to just give in and understand, but I want to give in to myself. I want to submit myself to be able to understand what exactly comes from there. In that sense, one way of saying it, the Chazon Ish doesn't like Brisk. It's almost too modern. It plays up too much in man's ability to be very creative. We spoke last week how the Rav thought that Reb Chaim saved Torah for Klal Yisrael. That there are people who were going to be going out to Haskalah, people that were engaged in secular studies and the like, and we needed to have a method of Torah study that was also as engaging, that was also as rigorous. And what Reb Chaim gave, not with that being its intent, but Reb Chaim offered was a way of pulling people in. For the Chazon Ish, submit. For the Chazon Ish, it's about submit. It's me, Torah, I want to be just mevatel myself to Torah. I'm melus. The geshmak and the pulling and things like that, it'll come. The sweet taste at the end. But right now, that's bichlal, not what it's about. Rav Shigar is very, very different, and it is, it's wild. It's important to be familiar with him. We spoke about him once Hanukkah time. We'll do that from a bit of a different angle now. It's very important to be familiar with this because, well, it's very important. It is out there in the world, and I think it's spreading to America a little bit. Oh, Taka. One of the reasons why Rav Shigar is spreading to America is because of Rabbi Josh Rosenfeld, who has translated some of the writings of Rav Shigar. I think that they're about to come out with, or coming out now with, one of Rav Shigar's books in English. But Rav Shigar and Derech Halim is interesting. Let me give you a little bit of background as to who Rav Shigar is. I think I've done this in the past, but let's... Shigar was a very well-known Dati Lu'umi figure. Originally, he was what we would call more of a mainstream Dati Lu'umi guy. He learned in Karen B'Yavne, then he was like a Rebbe in Yeshiva HaKotel, a little bit, went into the mayor. He was, again, a regular, very impressive Talmud Chacham. Rav Shigar, as he gets older, begins to branch out a little bit and reassess the way that he's going to do things. And he has a lot of, he's influenced by some postmodern thought, and Rav Shigar starts, you know, thinking a lot more out of the box. And Rav Shigar writes a book called the Terasso Yaga. They now have put out his Shiurim. They have a shiurim on Inyanei Shmita V'Yovel, where you see he's actually doing what he describes. They have other of his writings that they're putting out. They put a lot of svarim of Rav Shigar. A bunch of them are over there in the back of the room. They put a shiurim and listen to Moran. He does a lot of interesting things. Rav Shigar's Derech Halima is Rav Shigar in Derech Halima makes the following argument. And it is, again, there's a lot there. He argues as follows. Your Derech Halima is always influenced by your Hashkafa. Or at least you can't deny that. You can't deny that. Whereas, in a certain sense, the Chazon Ish may have been uncomfortable with Brisk almost because it's like too modern, and the Rav talks about how it held modern man together because it was so creative and so dynamic and it was able to compete with any other method of study. Rav Shigar critiques Brisk for the opposite reason. You know what the problem of Brisk is? Brisk makes a lot of sense when all you have in your life is Torah. So I want to understand the objective ideas that are found in the sugya. If I'm learning, all I want to know is, I'll give you the following example. I'm learning the first parak of Kiddushin, so I want the Torah's issues to be my issues. So I want to know Tazma. I want to know Shava Kasef. When I'm learning Kiddushin, I want to know what are the Torah's issues, and Brisk is all internal, pure Torah. But if Shigar writes, That's not so good for a modern Orthodox guy. And he thinks that the Datilumi world has had, I think, more struggle with this than the modern Orthodox world in America. That's at least my impression, maybe because I'm living in Israel, so I have more exposure to that, and you see like all the stuff there. And there was, especially like 10 years ago, there was a big deal that in a lot of the Datilumi high schools, people were like, Bichlal not mitzchaber to the world of Gemara. There were lots of Yimei'iyun about it, lots of writings about it, people that were just couldn't connect to Gemara. Part of Rav Shugar's argument is that the reason why, no, that's correct, right? Is that the reason why people weren't connecting to it is they weren't learning Gemara in the right way. One of his examples is the opening blot of Maseches Kiddushin. You're being down on that base in Kiddushin, and you're just talking about Taz and Smaz and Shav and Kasef, and you're talking about Chalipin, and you'll talk about, you know, different ways of reading a Havamim and Maskan about Bal Korcha and Midaita. But Rav Shugar's point, I'm going to say why I don't buy it in a second, but Rav Shugar's point is, the modern guy that's going there, he's not trying to make it good. It's not about making it the Torah, making him think like the Torah of Tasma, Shavakat, etc. He wants to know, what is the Torah's actual take on marriage? Like, how could this be? I'm buying a woman, Ha'isha Niknes? Like, that's what it is? And he's struggling with the question of, what's the Torah telling me about what my marriage should look like? And for him, the way I'm going to learn, it may involve some lumdus. This is my read of his Shiur Mishmit V'Yova when I was going through them. This is my take on how he does it a little bit when you're actually looking at it. Lamaisa, it's looking at it, not just, I may quote Reb Chaim, I may quote the Taz Nisman, the Adim Lum, all stuff relates to it, but I want to get back to that question of, what does this tell me about my marriage? How does it relate to me? How can I pull together, if you believe the way Yaakov Nagin writes it in source number 11, Yaakov Nagin is Raman Oniel, I referenced him this week, the way that he's going to write about it is, if you're a modern guy and you believe secular studies has value, so why can't that impact a little bit? Some of the way you bring that stuff in, understand, he'll bring in a lot of different things into a lot of different methodologies when he learns Gemara. You can bring in some Marals, and you can bring in some Chassidus, you can bring in some Mechkar from the world of academia, you can bring in a lot of Lumdus. But the goal is to understand what is the Torah. I'll tell you, he quotes a Maisa right now. Again, I'll give you my response in a second to this, but I want to be aware of this. He gives a Maisa where Benny Yishalom, is that the name? He has a book on Rav Kook. When Benjamin Yishalom was a professor who opened up a place called Beit Morasha. Beit Morasha is a little bit affiliated with like that Rav Shugar kind of a world. So Rav Yehuda Amital, Rav Shiva of Gush, says to Professor Benjamin Yishalom, he says to him, the place you're opening, is it a yeshiva or is it a university? And I'll tell you the difference, said Rav Amital from Gush. The difference is like this. In a university, they care about what Rav Kook said. In a yeshiva, they care about what did Rav Kook say to us. So Binyamin Yishalom said back to him, in our place, we care. The question we ask is, what did Rav Kook say to me? Not what Rav Kook say, not what he said to us, but each person understanding what it does for me. I'll give you an example. In the world of Shemitah Yovel, in his shiurim there, so, I don't know, it came out at the end of the year when we had done on Thursday night in Yanei Shemitah. So it was like, Pesach came out, okay, it's great, let's see what Rav Shugar says. So having me there's some very nice lumdus in there. But one of the things that Rav Shugar, why am I learning Shemitah V'Yovel? Because Shemitah V'Yovel is going to be able to tell me what is the Torah's take on how it thinks I should run society. What does Torah think about capitalism? What does the Torah think about every 7 years everyone has to stop working, you can't work the land, at Yovel everything's going to revert back? What does Torah think about the way a society should really be run? And for them it's about making it relevant, not by making it halacha l'maisa. That's one form of relevance. For the Chazon Ish, Torah has to be connected to Metzias, but for the Chazon Ish, Brisk is too abstract, but for the Chazon Ish, because it has to be a halacha l'maisa, has it relating to to the Metzias, to the world in front of me, what according to the Ran, what should I do for Kiddushin? And according to the Ritva, what does he learn the goal of Kiddushin is? But, according to Rav Shugar, the question is not, what do I think the goal of, it's not, L'maisa, what do I do about Kiddushin? It's, what did you tell me? Ideas about my marriage. Let's make it more relevant. Let's make it more direct for who am I really? And what am I really looking for? So how can I learn the perspective of Kiddushin and not ask the question of, what's this doing? What does it say about my marriage? How can I not do that? How can I learn Ksubis and do that? How can I not learn Bab Metzia? And when I'm learning Bab Metzia, I'm asking the question. Or say this, we're learning Baba Basra next year. And we're going to learn the beginning of Beis Menachem Baba Basra. I think we're learning Baba Basra. Hezek Re'iyah. Hezek Re'iyah. What does Hezek Re'iyah tell me about neighborly relationships? What does it tell me what the Torah thinks about my property and your property, what my attitude should be? It's a quest to make it increasingly relevant and to use lots of different things to get it there. It's a very wild way of looking at things. The notion of, instead of trying to make you think like the Torah, using the Torah to relate to the issues that you find important is both interesting and also somewhat almost the opposite of the Chazon Ish. If for the Chazon Ish, a lot of learning is me submitting myself to Torah, pure amelus, without finding the geshmak until the way end. If for the Chazon Ish, a lot of my learning is I'm just learning and trying to work with amelus and shaklavatari, so last week in letter, even though I don't find it so exciting, I'm just going to struggle, just say, what does the Torah want for me to do? And we don't want that much room for individuality. Like in Brisk, it was too individualized and there was too much room for creativity, and it's not what Torah is really about. It's about amelus and submitting yourself, v'chule. For Shigar, it's the opposite. Brisk was creativity, but it was creativity at least within the halachic system. It's saying, what does Torah say about Pidyon Petar Hamor? What does Torah say about Kiddushin? For Shigar, it's much more. Again, I may want to submit to Torah. Obviously, everyone agrees I want to submit to Torah. But for Shigar, a lot of it is, how can I use Torah to shed light on my life? It's much more subjective. It's using Torah. What does Torah tell me about how society should be run? What does Torah tell me about how I should interact with my wife? Not in the halacha l'maisa sense, but it's bringing Torah to me. It's similar to the Chazon Ish. Torah has to be shayach to metzias. But for the Chazon Ish, it's a very, very different way and a very, very different orientation. I'll read it here. If Shigar distinguishes, Rebecca from the Gamer has an article about this, distinguishes between two basic approaches to the relationship between Torah and life. The reason why I'm not going from Shigar right now, I was really, really tired. It was really, really late. And this was online, and it was easier than having to, like, you know, type up or Shigar, or even, like, on the app of my phone, take a picture of it and then scan it and then email it over. I was just too broken. So I really apologize. Like, I finally finished last night after this year, and then, like, whatever. I had to have a phone call that I had to make, and next thing I knew, it was late, and I was just, like, you know, we got to that point where you're like, I think I'm going to start crying now. I'm like, you know? Not from like a tears of joy emotional sense, like I'm just really tired. So when that happens, you're like, I'm going to cheat. So, in honor of that. Rav Shigar, that would be like the amelus the Chazon Ish was not describing. Rav Shigar distinguishes between two basic approaches to the relationship between Torah and life. One conception, which he attributes to the Brisker approach, views the divinity and eternality of the Torah as part and parcel of its being abstract and autonomous, and thereby disjointed from life and reality. Part of the maila of Brisk is that Torah is not... it's not relevant at all. It's abstract. I'm bringing myself, like we spoke about in the Maharal a little bit, and I'm elevating myself to Torah. And how like this world is almost like a chisaron in that sense. That's like where you have an influence of Brisk. It's like the halacha l'maisa is viewed as like a little bit of a lower level. And if you're in like certain yeshivas and a guy's learning for smicha, or a guy's learning morning seder, hilchos, whatever, you're thinking like, I guess he couldn't really hack it. I guess he couldn't really do it. Because, like, that's not the... So Rabbi Swell Salanter has to explain, when he starts a kolel, I think he referenced in the past, when he starts a kolel to produce, like, dayanim and things like that, he feels the need to explain how that's not a violation of Torah Lishma. Because, in a certain era, like, you're making it halacha l'maaseh. No, abstract. No shaychus to the world. The less shaychus there is, it's almost like, you know, it's like I was at a bris. And again, whatever, it's for other reasons also. But I'm at a bris of a friend of mine who lives in Yerushalayim a couple of years ago. He got to the speak, he's over a shtickel Torah. It's not going to even be about Mila, it was about Erevin. He got up and said over an idea about Erevin. And it happens to be, the parts of the Lefala were very impressive. But like, that's like momish, like, it's not shaykh to the... It wasn't about halacha l'maaseh of Erevin. It was like a vort in a Ramban. At the end, it even ended with a tzarachian. And you sit down. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it was, mamish. And you're like, but it's very inspired. It's Torah as abstract is ultimate mila. Is mamish the ultimate mila? And the rest is... For if Shigar, though, that's not what we're looking for. For if Shigar, he understands... Again, within Brisk, that's why, like, you can hear, like, a negative, like, balabatish asvaras. because I want pure halachic brisker ideas in the world. It's pure abstract. Someone thinks about the way someone thinks the same way they think in this world, there's a bit of a problem there. That the way the Torah thinks is different than us. I have to train myself to think kalkula like Torah. For a shigar, that's less true. The Torah can illuminate life's questions and challenges to a linkage between the flow of life and the Torah. For him, it's showing how the Torah how I can use Torah to show it's relevant for everything else. I want to chazer and share a couple of just my own take on things. I'm not going to say anything too, whatever. I just want to share a couple of thoughts. But it's like this. We saw really three mahalchim in Derech HaLimud. And again, we're assessing it not, and it's not a Gemara methodology shir, nor is this a history lesson. They're saying the purpose and function of ideal Torah. It's much more machshava based, and I've been thinking it's amazing when you relate to Shavuos in light of this and a certain kind of Kabbalah Satorah. For the Rav, we spoke about this last week a little bit. Let's elaborate. For the Rav, in the way he understands Brisk, it's all abstract. We are partners with Ribbono Shalom in a certain creative kind of Torah, but part of what it means to have a relationship with Torah is to start thinking like Torah, to view everything through the lens of Torah, to train my mind to think in a certain kind of methodological way, to be pure Torah. And if it's not shayach to this world, like nach besser, it's even better. The less relevant it is, so you're all the more better. Like that's what it's at. But for others, Kabbalah HaTorah is, for the rabbis, about Kabbalah Torah, an idea of Kabbalah Torah is us being partners with Ribbono Sha'olam and us reorienting the way that we think and the significance of Torah and it being abstract. For others, part of Kabbalah Torah is a Torah that left the Malachim and comes into this world. And the way that we're going to look at it, as far as certain ideas, is I'm going to, for the Chazon Ish, what does Torah tell me about this Metzias, Mamish in front of me? I'm going to learn everything, Kilo, there's a Din in front of me. We spoke last week a little bit more of the Derech HaLimud Shebo, as far as less abstract. But what does it tell me? I'm submitting myself to this, understand as well as possible. For Shigar, Kabbalah Torah is that Torah can change all elements of my life, and Torah can come to where I am. For Brisk, I'm moving to where Torah is. For Brisk, I want to train myself to think like Torah. For the Shigar, I want to know how to use the tools of Brisk. I want to know how to use the tools of Chassidus and the tools of Mechkar. I want to know how to bring that for me in my life to be able to understand things well. To be able to understand, what does it say to me? What does it say to me? What does it tell me about how I should live my life? What does it tell me about what I want my marriage to look like and how I want to raise my kids and what kind of community I want to live in and what kind of society I ideally would want to build? Let me say a couple of things. I think Rav Shigar sometimes overstates the case a little bit about Brisk. I think definitely certain versions of Brisk. I think it's the way that we've been learning the first paragraph of Kiddusha, maybe some of this is a Rosenzweig influence. If someone said, if we would ask the question of what does the Torah think about marriage, I think we could intelligently have that conversation and we could mention a lot. We may not always bring it to the level of so how would this impact the way that I relate to my wife? But we've spoken enough about Kedusha, the relationship to Hekdesh, the Kinyan Mamon being much less likely in the Kinyan Isser, and what Kinyan Isser means, and his Yachadus, and cultivating relationship, and the role that her Das plays. I think sometimes there's an overstating of the case. We have a lot to talk about if we were talking about the Torah's take on. If you had to get up, I believe that every person in the Shir, if you had to get up and give a Shir on Sunday on the Torah's take on marriage, could easily fill a 45-minute time slot. That's a shadow of a doubt. There is something there. It may not be the ultimate emphasis of what we're going to do. It's certainly there, and it does answer those questions. It really does. Learning Torah well, you're not that far from being able to answer some of those questions. I think that's important. The other challenge in Rav Shigar is that you don't want to start. It's very easy, just like in Brisk, you can do a bad job of Brisk by just saying your own svaras, and it's not rooted in anything, and it's bad ideas, and it's doesn't make any sense, but you just feel like you're creative. Brisk can be done badly well. So can Rav Shigar be done very, very poorly. And if you make Torah only about relevance, so in a certain sense, you run the danger and the risk of making Torah fundamentally about you. That the significance of Torah is that it was to do for me. And that's very close to, again, I think Rav Lichtenstein had used the phrase at one point, spiritual narcissism. It means that I'm worshiping Hashem, but you're really, it's all about you. And part of the Milah of Brisk, and certainly the Milah of the Chazon Ish, is that it's really about Hashem and Hashem's Torah. And while Rav Shigar, I believe, can shed light on a lot of things, I once had a conversation. There was a teacher in a high school in America that came to Eretz Yisrael, and he was on some grant and into this Rav Shigar stuff, and he wanted to know what people do in yeshivas. So he asked a couple of people who said that they were not familiar at all with any of this stuff. So somehow he got my number and heard that I was interested in this. So I said to him, he said to me, do you use like Rosh Hagar stuff at all? So I said, the answer is I do sometimes, but I do it less in my daily Gemara Be'in Shir, and I'll do it more on what we do like on Monday nights, or what I'll do on like a Friday, a very little bit. Partially that's because we are at a point, Baruch Hashem, where we have a certain connection to Torah and a certain desire to that world of understanding Torah on Torah's turf, you know, is something that works very, very nicely. But I think there are elements of the Rav Shigar approach that, you know, there is what to say for that. I think there's an overstatement even as far as halachic man relates to the world. That's also important to understand. Halachic, Torah may be different and distinct, but it's more than now I'm going to train myself to think like Torah and relate to the world in Torah. Halachic man is someone who goes outside. Halachic man is not locking himself in a room all day. So when he goes outside, he may see, oh, that's an Erev. And he may see a spring and say, that's a Ma'ayan. And that Al-Pidin, you know, this person can be told about that. He may, but he is relating back to how he perceives the world. The goals are halach l'maisa, but the goal is how he sees the world. And there's an overstatement, I think, of the distance of Brisk. Brisk is incredibly exciting and incredibly creative. And sometimes it's important that we are familiar with different styles of thought and different modes of thought. End of the day, I believe all of these drachim require one thing as a prerequisite. And this is a for sure Kabbalah Satorah idea. Not about the partnership, and not about the submitting of the, in terms of the Chazon Ish, or the relevance of the world of Rav Shigar, but an element to get all this stuff started, you have to be able to learn high quality Torah. You have to be able to really learn a sugya well. Forget the tools and everything, all that stuff, and your primary goal is all true, but if I have to be able to open up and to learn things, they're all done right, they have to be rigorous. If they're not rigorous, they're not intensive, you're not working really, really hard, you're going to have poor versions of Brisk. And you're going to have very, very poor versions of Rav Shigar. That all these things, and that's part of the challenge of doing that well. But may we be zocha, as we are in that time period leading up to Shavuos, to be mekabel Torah in a way in which we are partners, in which we are active, and be mekabel Torah in a way in which the Torah hopefully is relevant, but also is exceptionally meaningful.